Mr. Chairman, brethren in the ministry, and Christian friends. Surely we are gathered here this afternoon to offer unto God the sacrifices of praise and of thanksgiving. This day of necessity is one of memories. And we have been brought, I hope, into some spirit of thoughtfulness. And in our thought, to consider. You may recollect in the book of the prophet Haggai how that there was the injunction. So to remember the time when the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid, that he was to consider it. And we have to consider the past. And though we may celebrate a centenary, yet surely we are conscious of the brevity of time, that our days are spent as a tale that is told. My ministry, I have attended many services in regard to various objects and so forth, but I do not recollect either having attended a centenary service before. And when I had the thought of this service set before me, I was filled with a great spirit of concern. For we always desire on special occasions to seek from the Lord some word of direction and guidance, that we may speak that which shall be profitable unto the hearer and glorifying unto God. And our mind, as doubtless some of your minds may have done, went to the scriptures, and we read there concerning several buildings. We read of that wherein a man did indeed build upon a rock. But we also read of a man that built upon the sand. We also read of a spiritual house built of God. A house that was made for his own habitation, that he might dwell therein by his divine spirit. And we thought of that which related unto our building, which is eternal in the heavens. Perhaps some of us have known what it is to groan in this tabernacle, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with a house which is from heaven, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. However, though our thoughts wandered to and fro, one evening, this word, which I hope just to speak to you from for a few minutes, dropped into my heart. It didn't drop into my mind. It dropped into my heart because I felt the sweetness of it. And I felt I knew what it meant. And so I have ventured to bring it before you this afternoon. And the words are these: the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. You all know the circumstances, doubtless, in which those words were spoken. That they were spoken in the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And we know with what delight and pleasure our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ visited them from time to time. But we will look at the house first. The house. I don't suppose there was anything very extraordinary about its appearance. Although some commentaries, having implied that those who were the occupants were wealthy, yet we have nothing in Scripture whereby we may form an opinion as to what the house was like inwardly. But there it was a building. And here this afternoon we are gathered together in a building. A building that has been put up by man. But in the case of this building, one which has been put up for an express purpose. Lately I have been reading over the life of Pastor Matthew. And I have read of his struggles and difficulties and his exercises relative to his entrance into the ministry, and also unto the many hindrances and obstacles that he had to encounter relative to the construction of a place of worship, and how that in that wherein he so sought to contrive the way whereby the building might be constructed, he had to meet with many enemies. Nevertheless, to the praise and the glory of God, the edifice was eventually raised. And through God's preserving care, and in the greatness of the provision that he hath made, the building is still visited. There are still to be found within it a family. Now in that house of Bethany, there was a family. And it was that which is so caused to be the means of our being directed to the consideration of the fact of the house. Because the house was a favored house, favored amongst above many, and favored on one ground and one ground alone. And that was the fact of the presence of Jesus. That Jesus was there. That he came oft times there. And I don't suppose he ever visited it when it was empty. But three occupants. And where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. That is the house of God. That is where Jesus delights to dwell amongst them that love and fear his name. Surely this house has been a favored house. Surely the Lord himself has been in this place. The chairman has referred unto the fact that it's 46 years since I paid my first visit to this place. I will remember the occasion, especially the evening. Yes, nearly every seat was occupied in those days. And I will remember how that I spake from those words, a door opened in heaven. And what a realization there was of the presence of Jesus. How his name was as ointment poured forth. And what love flowed out unto him in consequence. You always know when Jesus comes. You're always realizing the fact of the reality of the fact that he does come. And what a blessed thing it is when we can say the Lord is there. Where is Jesus, they might have asked in those days. And the outsider who may have made some inquiry would be directed unto the house at Bethany. There he is. But when we look at this house, we are reminded of another fact, that it was a visited house. It wasn't only visited by Jesus, it was visited by his disciples, and it was visited by others. For we are told, relative unto the connection of these words, that one of the disciples spake. And then a little further down, we are informed that much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. Now the disciples were there because they were the followers of Jesus. They had been called by him. They delighted in his company along with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. But much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. They came out of a spirit of curiosity. It wasn't the fact of Jesus being there that brought them. They didn't come for his sake. They wanted to see the effect of the miracle that had been wrought in one of the members of that family. And you know, when we visit the house of the Lord, what do we come for? Do we come to see Jesus? Do we come to meet with him? Or do we come not for his sake, but for some selfish motive of our own? Not for his sake, but for that wherein I may have some object in view which is going to satisfy my natural intellect. How many there are that may come to the house of the Lord like that, and yet, blessed be God, there may have come some to this house like that. Some have come for Jesus' sake. Some have not come for his sake. And yet it is recorded that many of the Jews that came believed. Yes, it is a memorable house. Sometimes as we go about the country, we have seen the plaques on the side of the house. Here lived so-and-so. You know, this is a memorable house, because you can put many a plaque up on the walls round about, and you can say, here so-and-so was born again. This place has been the birthplace of many a precious soul. Ah, there is a sweet cluster of memories within the hearts of such. The memory of that of God's house in that respect unto their souls is sacred. And yet, after all, what is it? We look at the house again and we realize that it's only a temporary house. It isn't going to last forever, the building. There is a time that is coming when it will decay, when it will no longer exist. But there are those records of what took place in that house that will endure to all eternity. And what a blessing if we can raise up our hearts in thanksgiving unto God for that wherein it is a memorable house. Inasmuch Though we have known so many who have gone from this place and entered into eternity, yet we have a firm and a sure conviction that their names are recorded on high. A memorable house and a temporary house. But that which is of Jesus remains and endures forever. It doesn't pass away. And he's had it recorded in the word of God that it shall endure unto the end of all ages, that it may be made known unto all generations. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now a word upon the odor. The sweet smelling. From whence did it arise? If Jesus had not been there, the odor would not have been known by those who were present. If he had not come into their midst, then that box of ointment would never have been broken, and its contents poured upon his feet. It's when Jesus comes that the place is sanctified by his presence. There is an anointing. There is an unction. There is a softening. And that which relates unto a broken heart and a contrite spirit is acceptable unto God. I am sure that in that wherein Mary so acted in this matter, that she had before her some realization of his work of atonement. Had she had not much forgiven? Had she not known the love of the Savior? Ah, when his name is like that, and when it's poured forth, what an odor springs out of the heart of the sinner that is thus touched by the tender and compassionate love of the Savior. Yes, it's not only his presence that brought forth the odor. It was the fact of his word. She is at his feet in connection with this case. It wasn't the first time she had been at his feet. She had been at his feet as a learner. And she had learnt of Jesus. And she had chosen that good part that should not be taken away from her. My friend, if we're going to know the blessedness of the house of God, we've got to drill at the feet of Jesus and never rise any higher than that. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. Yes, but he that is abased shall be exalted. What are your thoughts of Jesus? Where do you like to dwell in his house? Is it inventing your own opinions? Telling others what you think? Or is it that you are content as a little child? So to look upon his lovely face. And so to receive from that response that cometh from his eyes of love and compassion, that wherein your heart sendeth forth that which you have received of him, it is not your own. It is what he hath given unto thee, that thou mayest make the due returns unto him, but shall only do it at the feet of Jesus. How true doth the hymn writer put it? The more thy glory strike mine eyes, the humbler in the dust I lie. Yes, it was likewise his grace, wasn't it, that brought forth the odor? It was his work that brought forth the odor. Why, here is one who has been raised from the dead. Yes, and are there not souls that have been quickened into life? But I must hasten. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. What is the ointment? Is it his name? Is this the inspiration? Is this the exhilaration and the energizing of our heart? Do we mean what we sing, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds? The ointment. She possessed it. How long she had kept it, we do not know, but there comes a time when it's got to come out. My friend, in the house of the Lord, when the Lord is pleased to pour out of his gracious presence, then that which we have received of him shall find vent. It shall come forth, manifest itself in the odors of love, of grace, of forgiveness, of kindness, of gentleness, of meekness, and so forth. Yes, it is the ointment that speaketh of a sweet fellowship that existed. Just think for a moment. The ointment, a precious ointment, because it was rare, it was costly, and it was consecrated wholly to the Lord. Mighty hearer, do you ever say, here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it from thy cots above. And dost thou know what it is in lowly service thus to bend at his feet and to pour upon his precious feet the ointment of that love which you have had in possession, and to wipe his feet with the hairs of your head, and there to adore and to worship him, and others shall benefit thereby. They shall smell at the odor, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. May we know what that is today, that as we have met together in his house, may we know the precious ointment of his name. And may that which has been said regarding prayer likewise be known. For the 24 elders, you know, having their vials full of odors, well, what did they do? They fell down at the feet of Jesus. So may we be found at his feet, praising and adoring him. Well, I told Mr. Crowther before I came to the pulpit that I would be willing for him to speak first, because I didn't feel all that fit, so to speak. But he simply, as it were, referred it back to me. I'm sorry if I've taken up too much time, Mr. Felter. You'll have to forgive me. And I don't suppose we should grumble if you likewise go over the time. May the Lord's a blessing rest upon us. And may the house be filled with the odor of the ointment. Amen.